There's never been a better time to get outside and experience the benefits of nature. Discover nearby trails and explore the outdoors with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your outside.
You say I talk too much, say I ask the wrong things, but if the truth feels weird, then I'm pulling that string. Don't quote me, it's probably nothing, just asking questions, yeah, that's my thing. Laughing through chaos, digging through lies, if it makes you uncomfortable, I'm doing it right. Don't quote me, it's probably nothing, say it too loud, no, stuck in your head. If this all goes wrong, just remember I said, it's probably nothing.
Hey, hi, hello. Welcome back to Don't Quote Me, It's Probably Nothing, the podcast where I get high and talk about weird stuff. I'm Kelly, because that's my name. Don't wear it out. I'm so sorry for this. Also sorry for being away for a really long time. I had to take a break to do stuff, you know? Anyway, I'm super duper excited to be back. So excited you have no idea. And obviously, I'm going to talk about aliens because I haven't talked about aliens in a little while and I need to talk about it. I need to say the word alien 50 million times and then I think I'll be okay for a little while. Also, I know I said it in the beginning, but if you're new here, I'm going to say it again. I'm high. That's why I laugh at myself and do the things that I do and say the things that I say. So enjoy it, please. Even if you don't enjoy it, you can still be like, yo, listen to this podcast. This girl's wild, for sure. And also, I wanted to say thank you for like the people who messaged me and had like kind things to say. I thought it was super duper duper nice and I appreciate it. And I'm super grateful. And I was going to say like, for friends, you know, but I kind of can't call you friends because I've never met you, you know, but we can still be friends for sure. Speaking of friends, you know what I think we should bring back? The pen pals, you know, when you would like write people letters and send them out. Can we start a pen pal thing? I don't want to call it a fan club, you know, because there's like probably only one of you out there. But anyway, yeah, I want to write letters. So I'm going to like, I don't know, I'm going to come up with a way that we can send handwritten letters to each other and maybe play past the, maybe I'll get like a little alien, you know, and we'll just ship an alien all around the world. Kind of like Flat Stanley, and he's going to go all over the world, but it's going to be a little alien. This sounds so fun, guys. So let me know if you want to do it. If you want to do it, we will do it. I don't know how, but it will do it. We will. Also, welcome to my brain and what it sounds like when I come up with a super cool idea while I'm in the middle of doing something. That's partly why I started. Like, I start so many things and then I don't finish them. I think there's like something wrong with me that has a name, but I don't know what it is. One, because I'm super duper high and I can't think straight. Two, because I'm probably going to get it wrong because there's like a bunch of things wrong with me that I think is wrong with me. This is going to be a wild episode. Also, if you hear an echo and I'll try to edit it out, it's because I'm in a room by myself. I'm not in my bedroom anymore. Like when it was in my bedroom, I feel like I had clothes everywhere to like absorb the echo. But now that it's in a room by itself, there's literally nothing in here but this desk, a little tiny bookshelf, and my makeup vanity, and that's it. Bigfoot is in the closet because I didn't bring him out yet. He's all black, and I'm going to get him painted, I think, with like the podcast name. I don't know. I haven't decided yet, but I'm going to do something super duper cool with it. And then also, we're like moving, hopefully. So I can't decorate my podcast room yet, but it's going to be the coolest room ever. I know, I think I talked about this before. There's going to be so much cool stuff everywhere. And then I'll just do video all the time. You know what? I'm going to be on Netflix. You're going to see this podcast on Netflix one day and be like, yo, she's wild. How is she even on Netflix right now? Speaking of Netflix, so there's a show on there called Funny AF with like Kevin Hart's doing it. And I haven't watched it yet. I don't know if I will. But I actually applied to be on that show. Like I sent in my video and everything. And like, because a couple people sent me the link and they were like, dude, you have to apply to be on this show. And I didn't get picked, if you couldn't tell. I'm not in there doing funny stuff. But also, I also applied to be on Traitors and they didn't want me, I guess, but it's okay. And then I applied to be on Survivor and also Deal or No Deal Island. And I don't think I could be on these islands and survive, you know, because I don't know. I just don't know if I, you know what? That's a lie. I could. I so could. Mentally. Physically is a different story, but mentally I could survive out there. I'd be like snorkeling out there and fishing, you know? But anyway, I'm recording this in a completely different app than what I'm used to, so I don't know how long I have been babbling for. So my bad. Hopefully it wasn't like forever. It feels like I've been talking to you guys for an hour, but maybe I wasn't. So we can do the episode now. So obviously, I'm talking about aliens because I think I already told you I was talking about aliens, but yeah. So before I talk about what I'm going to talk about, we're going to have a little alien abduction 101, even though I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this podcast, you know, like what an alien abduction is and stuff like that. An alien abduction is when an alien abducts you. I actually don't think that was as funny as I left. But anyway, like with alien abductions, like they usually all like have things in common. So like one of the big ones is missing time. Someone could like be driving or walking or camping a lot, you know, because it happens in the woods a lot. And but anyway, they're just like minding their own business is what I'm trying to say. And then next thing they know, like some time has passed and like sometimes it could be minutes, but sometimes it could also be hours. And then they get home way later than they should have. And they have no clue why. What if they were abducted by aliens? You know, like earlier today, I was playing a game and 5 minutes went by really fast. What if I was abducted by aliens for those 5 minutes and I don't remember? Do you think that's like what it could be like? You're just sitting on your couch, living life, and then you get beamed up to the sky and then they do whatever and you go back down and that's that? It must have been a quick visit, obviously, if it was only 5 minutes. Anyway, when people are abducted, they also, you know, I may have said, hold on. I don't know what accent's about to come out. I'm really, really super duper high. In case you needed a reminder, I'm not usually this bad. I will say though, lately I have been like replying in my mind with like a, I would say a British accent, but like there, it's a very specific type. It's like the ones who all like say bruv like that, you know, or instead of saying like isn't it, they're like ednit. That's what I've been doing lately. But also I don't know how to stop it, so if you could help me, that'd be great. Just send me an email or something. And I don't even remember why I was talking about that. So the next thing with alien abductions is that sometimes people say like, oh, there was a bright light. And that could have been like a strange light in the sky or like a glowing object or a beam of light. Like they'll see those lights first and then they see the super duper bright light. And then sometimes people also experience like paralysis where like they're awake, but like their body was frozen. They couldn't scream or run or do anything. But then also they see beings too. And so a lot of people say that they see like little gray aliens with like the big heads and the big eyes with like tiny bodies, like the real thin bodies and stuff. But not every abduction story includes the grays. I kind of feel bad for calling them grays, you know, but I also feel funny about it. So I'm going to keep that in there. But anyway, some people also say like there's taller ones, like taller beings instead of the short ones, you know? And then they also say that they see like insect-like beings or robotic beings. And some also describe human-looking beings, which is wild because like now people are going to be like to the, you know, the guy next to him at the grocery store with the really bad mustache. They're going to be like, oh, look at you, Mr. Alien with the bad mustache. I know you're an alien because your mustache is bad. That's how that's going to go down, you know? Anyway, so a lot of the stories, supposedly the beings communicate through telepathy. And it's just where like their mouth's not moving. And it's just immediately what they're saying is like in your brain. Isn't that wild? Also, I don't need a little strange, bald space guy in my head when I literally have my own brain in my head. It's spacey and alien-y and alien-y. That's a hard word to say, by the way. And then supposedly some like of the people who are abducted say that they talk to them, well, like, you know, through words or the telepathy thing. And they're like, they say stuff like, oh, do not be afraid, you know, which the only person I want saying that to me is Jesus. Okay. I don't want an alien saying it because I'm going to be afraid, maybe. But a lot of the people claim that like they were taken somewhere, and there's always like a surgical, like the steel tables, there's always one of them involved in like a lot of these abduction stories. My brain just came up with the weirdest thing, okay? What if, okay, they're not abducted. What if they passed away, you know? And the alien thing is just like the morgue doctor guy. But then they go back to a different life. Like they're still them, but like their life's a little different. What if that's what's happening? Oh my goodness. Do you think that's a possibility? Also, I just want you guys to know that it is dark outside because it's 9 o'clock at night and I'm going to be a little scared soon. So if I take a break, obviously I'll tell you that I'm taking a break, but it won't feel like I'm taking a break because I will be back 0.2 seconds later. But they also like say it happens super quick too. Like 1 minute you're doing whatever you're doing and the next thing you know, you're laying on a table and it's bright and you got weird aliens looking at you. They're all like, hey, welcome to space. Another one that they talk about is like implants. So some people will be like, oh, they implanted something in me, you know, and they'll say it's like, oh, it was in my ear. Sometimes they say like the leg or arm too, I think, or like that they had like a strange mark or a bump or something that like just felt like it didn't belong there, you know. Would you ever see those movies like what just popped into my head? In Stranger Things, Will, whenever the Demogorgon? Yeah, maybe. Whenever it was near and he would get like the goosebumps on his skin, he would immediately like put his hand to the back of his neck. What if that's how the people find whatever it is they're finding? They're like, I don't know, something happens that like reminds them of the alien and they immediately touch something, you know? Like whatever it was that was implanted. Not subconsciously, because they actually touch it, but I think you know what I'm trying to say. And then on top of the implants, some people say that there's like marks and it could be like bruises or scratches or like these weird scoop-like marks, which I don't know what they mean by that because I'm picturing an ice cream scoop. But yeah, those like marks, or sometimes they'll wake up with just like something like hurting in their body and they'll be like, oh man, like, you know what? What if all the times I woke up and my hip was bothering me, it was aliens? What if that, you know, I don't want to speak about aliens. I mean, I do because I'm talking about aliens, but I mean, like, I don't know why I just said that. Hold on. Let me pause. My brain is getting a little weird. So hold on. Okay. I had to sit and stare off into space for a second because my brain was moving so fast and the words couldn't come out because I was picturing of like three different stories were going on in at like the same time in my mind. And I was trying to tell one of them, but it was hard. Okay. So what I was going to say was, because for some reason, whatever I just said made me think of this. I had a dream last night and I think I was lucid dreaming, which I don't do often. But the only reason I think I was is because I knew that I was dreaming, but I didn't say anything out loud. And you want to know what? My dog was in the dream with me. And I'm wondering if she was lucid dreaming too. So we were at the house that I grew up in Briarcliff, if there's any Delco people listening to this. And if you're from Briarcliff, hello. Anyway, so I think she was in the dream with me and we were doing laundry, which was wild. Not something I want to be doing when I'm lucid dreaming. Okay. And anyway, I took Bert out back for a walk and it was like a row home. So you walk out the back door and it's all concrete, like all road, driveway, and then where you park and then the driveway. And then we had like a little patch of hill that had grass on it. But anyway, I had Clarabelle up there and she didn't want to come down, so she plopped over like a little hot dog and I just drug her down the hill. She just gave me this weird look like, how dare you? How dare you do that? And then I woke up and don't you know, she gave me that same look. So I think she was in there too. And she's probably like, girl, it's the last time I dream with you. But anyway, back to all of the marks. So some of the people say that like the marks would appear when they would like see the strange lights or have a dream or like the missing time, like or like being taken, like all of that stuff that I just told you. If they experienced any of that, that's when the marks would appear after that. And then some people have memories that come back later, which is also a huge part of abduction stories because they'll be like, oh, I don't remember everything. Like, I was there and then I came back, but then they end up remembering like later down the line, or they'll have like nightmares or flashbacks or something. And like, do you know some people actually go to like a therapist for that? Because it's probably traumatizing. Yeah, that makes sense anyway. But also some people do like hypnosis to see if it can like bring back any of their memories. But like other people are like, yeah, no, it's like altering your memories. So I don't know what I feel about hypnosis. I do know, though, I do have something to say. So my husband and I, when we were on our honeymoon up in the Poconos, we missed it because we didn't go. Anyway, so they had like this entertainment there and they had like a hypnosis guy. And I actually, another story just popped into my head. So I'm going to tell you about that right real quick. So my father-in-law gave me a joint for our honeymoon. Like for our wedding, on our wedding day. And I was like, this is great. I'm going to bring this up the Poconos. But I'm the only one who smoked. So that whole entire thing was for me. And I didn't want to smoke it when we left the room. And then I got to the dining area, the restaurant place. And I was like, okay, I think I do want to smoke this. So I, like an idiot, smoked the whole thing. The whole thing. Saying it one more time. The whole thing. And right now I take like three little hits and I'm good for an entire day. Okay. I'm literally a lightweight with anything. Weed, alcohol. I can't even take Benadryl because it knocks me out for like 4 days. Okay. But anyway, so I got really, really, really high and we were sitting there and they had this little like bar area and my husband got a soda and I got a water because I was super duper freaking thirsty. And there was like, they had these appetizers and stuff for like happy hour or something like that. And it was like, they had like fresh fruit, raw veggies to like dip in ranch and stuff. And then like other little things. I don't know why I just told you all the appetizers they were having. But anyway, so we're sitting there by ourselves. I still feel really bad about this, by the way. But we're sitting there and Jim's like enjoying himself. And some guy... Some guy's over getting his, like putting food on his plate or whatever. And he ends up dropping a piece of broccoli. And it was like, I saw it in slow motion. So like, I was watching him so hard. Okay. I don't know why. And I ended up like having tunnel vision with it too. I heard nothing that was happening around me. So he picks up the broccoli and he goes to put it on his plate. But what he did wrong was he let go of the broccoli too soon because he wasn't paying attention. He was looking for what he wanted next. He lost eye contact with that plate, okay? And he let go of the broccoli and it hit the edge of his plate and bounced on the floor, but like in slow motion, okay? And I don't know why. I think what I thought was funny was that like his eyes got really wide and he looked down at the broccoli and then like picked his head up and like slowly looked around him to see if anybody noticed him drop the broccoli on the floor. Cause I bet he was pretty embarrassed. He was probably like, I messed it up. I was about to score a touchdown and then I didn't. I was, what's his face? What was his name? Was it Deshaun Jackson? Number 10 for the Eagles was running for that touchdown. And right before he got into the end zone, he freaking spiked the ball backwards like an idiot. I was so pissed. I was so pissed when he did that. And I think if I remember correctly, it cost us the game, by the way. But anyway, I don't really watch much football, but I remember that because it really pissed me off. Anyway. Why am I telling you this? Oh yeah, the broccoli guy. So I don't, it was like, I think it was the way he like stopped and looked and turned around and everything. And I literally laughed so hard for a good 20 minutes. And my husband's like, what are you laughing at? And all I could say was, he dropped the broccoli. He dropped the broccoli. And I feel like a butthole because he was embarrassed. You know, I wasn't saying it loud or anything. I was just like laughing really hard. And I'm not a loud laugher. If something's really funny, I do like the shoulder shake thing because I can't breathe because I'm laughing so hard. So I don't know why he was embarrassed, to be honest. I was pretty messed up though. But anyway, I told you all that and I don't even remember what I was talking about before that. So hold on. I have to go back and listen to it. Oh yeah, the hypnosis guy. So apparently that night, some hypnosis guy was there and he hypnotized some guy to make him think he had a dildo in his butt. And apparently it was really funny, but we didn't see that. So yeah, that's what I wanted to tell you about hypno guys. But anyway, on that note, I think we should talk about alien abduction cases. So the first one that I have to talk about is obviously Betty and Barney Hill. And I think I'm pretty sure that I talked about this way, way, way back in the beginning when this cool podcast was a little bitty baby podcast. I think I did mention it then, but I'm going to talk about it again. So this happened in September of 1961 in New Hampshire, and it became one of like the most famous UFO stories, well, alleged alien abduction stories in America. And I hope when I said that you pictured that scene from White Chicks when he's like, "Dear Mr. Royal Hampton, I am a white woman in America." Also, fun fact, I have said a few times that I am the queen of misheard lyrics, song lyrics, you know, that happens a lot. But I'm also just the queen of misheard words because I thought that they were addressing the letter to Mr. Lyle Hampton. Didn't even put two and two together that they were staying at the Hampton, like the Hampton place, and it's called like the Royal Hampton, you know, that's what they say. So yeah, I think I put it on Facebook and someone was like, it's Royal Hampton, you idiot. Oh man, good times. But anyway, so Betty and Barney Hill lived in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Also, it could possibly be Portsmouth because it's spelled P-O-R-T-S-M-O-U-T-H. But I'm going to say Portsmouth because I'm thinking of Plymouth Rock and Plymouth spelled like the same way, you know? So anyway, so Betty was a social worker and Barney worked at the post office and they were married. Obviously, they both had the same last name because they were married, not because they were brother and sister. Don't know why that just popped into my brain. They also were super involved in their community and they were also active in civil rights work. So like they were just like your normal everyday people. They weren't like trying to get famous and stuff like Balloon Boy. Well, Balloon Boy's dad. We shouldn't blame Balloon Boy because it wasn't his fault. What was I talking about again? Oh, yeah. Betty and Barney. So on the night of September 19th, they were coming back from a trip that they took in Canada, and they went through places like Montreal and Niagara Falls, and they were heading back home to Portsmouth, and it was late, and they were super tired, and they were driving through the White Mountains of New Hampshire, and then they saw a light in the sky, and at first, they were like, oh, it's probably a star, or like a planet or something, you know? Maybe not, but something weird appeared, okay? I doubt they were driving like, zip plane. I don't even remember what that's from. I just remember I used to say it a lot when I was little. Anyway, so according to Betty and Barney, according to them, the light was like moving really strange and then it changed direction. It got closer and they stopped like more than once so that they could look at it. And Betty supposedly well, not supposedly, Betty reportedly watched it through like binoculars. And Barney, who had served in World War II, was super familiar with aircraft. So he like was trying to figure out what he was seeing. And then so at one point they pulled over and Barney got out of the car with the binoculars to like look more closely. And he said that he saw a craft that had figures inside. And then later descriptions say that he saw that he had like that he saw humanoid figures looking back at him. And then Barney was like, he got super duper scared and then he ran back to his car and then they drove away. And they also said that they heard like a series of buzzing or beeping sounds. And then after that, their memory became unclear. And then it wasn't until later that they realized that like something was wild, you know? So they get home around like dawn, but they could not account for like 2 hours of time, like roughly 2 hours. And then they also realized that they were like further along their route that they were driving than they remembered being. And like in many accounts, they are said to have come to around like 35 miles down the road from when like they saw like the strange things, you know? But also, how slow are you driving if it's taking you like up to 2 hours to go 35 miles, my guy? I mean, I get it. You know what? It was in the 60s. Did cars go that fast in the 60s? Oh, you know what? I think I'm thinking of the 20s, actually. I'm thinking of like the first car. I don't think they went that fast. I don't think. I forget what the top mile per hour was. You know what? I'm going to Google it. Hold on. Well, I was off by many years. I thought the first car was made in the 20s. maybe the first battery car or something, or gas car maybe, or I don't know. But the first car, if you were wondering, was a steam powered vehicle in 1871 by J.W. Carhart. Wait, is that the same Carhart guy who made all those clothes, do you think? But anyway, I think they must have been driving super duper slow, at a very slow speed. So when they got home, they noticed like physical details that made everything like even more stranger, you know? So Betty's dress was reportedly torn and stained, and Barney's shoes were scuffed, and a binocular strap was damaged, and their watches had also stopped working. Which, speaking of watches, because I'm awkward, so I went to my aunt's surprise party last weekend, and I went over to say hi to somebody that I know, and this is how dumb I am, okay? I mean, I'm not dumb. I'm super duper smart, and I'm amazing, and I'm funny, but this is how, like, I was, okay? So I get weird when I'm talking to people in person, right? Because, like, what do you say? What am I going to say? Nobody knows, okay? And I was saying hello, and for some reason, I look down at my wrist to where someone would look if they're wearing a watch. I don't have a watch. I don't wear a watch. Okay. And so I looked right at my wrist and I was like, would you look at the time? And then I said, OMG, can't believe I just did that out loud. The funny thing was though, she didn't even notice. You know why? I think it's because my other aunt came over and distracted her. But can you imagine if like someone is like abducted and they don't wear a watch and then they're looking at their wrist, they're like, my watch is broken. Anyway, so after all of that, like Betty was trying to figure out like what the heck happened, you know? And she read about UFOs and contacted organizations that were connected to UFO reporting. And she also reported the sighting to the Air Force because like she was supposedly concerned about radiation, which is that's a wild thing to be concerned about. You know what? Was radiation a big thing back then? You know what? I feel like it was, because I think, wasn't The Hills Have Eyes set in the 60s, or they just wore really old clothes because they were like misformed. Is misformed a word? Deformed, I think is what I want to say. Their faces were like deformed and they wore old clothes, I think, if I remember correctly. I don't know. I just remember in that movie, a lot of them looked like my brother. He doesn't listen to this, so it's fine. He'll never even know I said it. So just like I mentioned earlier about like the whole remembering things later thing, that's kind of what happened here. So she started having like these dreams, and it was like weeks and months after, and she started having these vivid dreams where she was like being taken aboard some type of craft. And Barney said that he experienced anxiety and health issues, including like some problems that like could connect to stress and stuff like that. So Betty and Barney decided that they were going to talk to this guy, Dr. Benjamin Simone. Could be, you know what? It was Simon. So Betty and Barney decided they were going to talk to Dr. Benjamin Simon, and he was a psychiatrist and a neurologist who used hypnosis. And this is like wild, because while they were under hypnosis, they gave a more detailed account of what they believed had happened, like during the missing time. So they described being taken aboard this craft with non-human beings, and they said that they were separated and they were examined in like this room that had curved walls and a table with lights, and like there were medical procedures involved, you know. And Betty said that samples were taken from her body, including her hair, her skin, and nail clippings. And she also described like a painful procedure involving a needle inserted into her abdomen, what she believed that like she thought was like some kind of pregnancy test or something like that. And then Barney said that he was also examined, and that it included like his body, skin, and reproductive areas. And the details vary, like depending on like the retelling, but they were basically both the same in that they were taken aboard, separated, examined, and then returned. And it's funny that they like examine his reproductive areas, because they're probably like, what the heck is this thing? Because if you saw Scary Movie 3, then you would know that aliens pee through their finger. Duh. So Betty claimed that during the alleged abduction, she asked them where they were from, and then she drew a map that she said had been shown to her while she was like aboard the craft. And years later, a woman named Marjorie Fish studied the map and suggested that it matched stars near the Zeta Reticuli system. I don't even know if I pronounced that right, but maybe. And this was like a huge part of the UFO community's like interest in this case, because like if the map actually matched like an actual star system, then like Betty had to have seen something that she could not have known. You know what I mean? So this case ends up like reaching the Air Force through Project Blue Book, which sounds an awful lot like Project Blue Beam, you know? And that's funny, because what if the Blue Book is the outline for the Blue Beam? You know what I'm saying? Did I say beam or bean? But anyway, Project Blue Book was the U.S. Air Force's program for investigating UFO reports at the time, and it investigated thousands of them during its years in operation. You know, if people see a UFO, does anybody call anyone anymore? Like, I know there's some stuff going around TikTok where there's like, it could be AI, but like UFOs and stuff like that in the sky. Well, they want you to think it's AI, but it's probably real. But I've never seen one. I don't want to say yet. I don't want to see one. But why am I saying this? Oh, yeah. Do you think it's just because like people don't have to call anyone to report it because they just post it on TikTok? You know? Anyway, so for Barney and Betty, the Air Force actually didn't conclude that the aliens had visited them. Later, they were like, oh, it was natural causes. And then they mentioned Jupiter as an explanation of what they saw in the sky. But also, if it was Jupiter, why would both of them be scared, you know? So Barney and Betty actually like became a little bit famous after this happened. It was like some years later though, because a Boston newspaper covered it in 1965. And then in 1966, John G. Fuller, who was an author, he published The Interrupted Journey, and it was a book based on their story and their hypnosis sessions. And like before that, like a lot of the alien contact stories were like, oh, friendly visitors from space. And then after like Barney and Betty talked about their stuff, that's when they got like, these things are scary. I was afraid of signs, you know. I close my eyes during scary movies. If I know it's going to scare me, like I cover my eyes because I don't want to look at it, because if I don't cover my eyes, I'll still look at it even though I'm scared. And then I'll regret it later when I'm trying to sleep. But anyway, so the hypnosis guy, he didn't think that the hills were lying. He thought that like they were sincere in what they were saying, but that he also didn't think that like the cause was an alien abduction, that it could have been like something else. But yeah, but Barney, unfortunately, he passed away in 1969, only a few years after that whole story, you know. And Betty lived for decades after, and she remained involved in like UFO research until her death in 2004. But they wrote like papers, and there's photographs of it too, and they save news clippings. And then if you go to the University of New Hampshire, you can see like their papers and photographs and news clippings and other like UFO related materials. And I think I'm going to take a road trip. I wonder, do you pass New Hampshire on the way to Massachusetts, or is New Hampshire further than Massachusetts? I should know this. We literally used to have to memorize all of the states, you know, and they used to be memorized so good in grade school. And then I got to high school and nothing is remembered after that, you know. Is anything remembered for you either? This next case is about Travis Walton. And if that name sounds familiar to you, it might be, just maybe, because his story inspired the 1993 movie Fire in the Sky. So the Travis Walton incident happened on November 5th, 1975 in Arizona. And Travis was 22 years old at the time. And he was working with this like forestry crew. And it was near like the Heber and the Snowflake area. And the crew was like doing this forest thinning work. So they were like clearing trees and brush as part of like probably a logging contract, because that's what they do. It's called logging. And they go out and they get all these trees. And that's how they make wood, I think. But anyway, that's what they were doing. They were working, okay? And it was Travis and six other men. So there was Mike Rogers, and he was the crew boss and driver guy. And then there was John Goulet, maybe, or Galetti, I don't know. Ken Peterson, Steve Pierce, Dwayne Smith, and Alan Dallas. And so that's a lot of people, okay? So after they were done work, they were driving back from the job site, and they were in a truck, and it was getting super dark, and they were in a wooded area, and they were tired, probably because everyone's tired after work, you know? They probably wanted to go home and eat and shower like everybody else, because like that's so good when you know like you're about to settle in for the night, and like you get a shower and you sit on the couch all comfy and you do whatever it is that brings you comfort before bed. Ugh, so amazing. Anyway, they said that as they were driving through the forest, they saw this like strange glow through the trees. Some tellings like say that it's like a disc shape or a metallic looking object, and that it was glowing and hovering like low above the ground. And then others say it was about 15 feet off the ground. So it depends on like who's telling the story. But like the claim was the same, that there was an object in the forest where an object should not have been. So Travis gets out of the truck and he moves toward this object in the sky. And first of all, if it's dark and I'm in the forest, I'm not getting out of any truck. No way, no hell. No, thank you. Especially if there's a light in the sky. So he's like super focused on this thing in the sky. And everybody in the truck's like, no, bro, get back in the truck. But he didn't listen. He kept like approaching the thing in the sky. Anyway, everybody in the truck was like, oh, dang. Because then a flash of light came and it struck him. And then they said that Travis was like thrown backwards and knocked to the ground. And then they panicked and drove away. Because, I mean, honestly, I'd probably do the same. Drive right away. I'd be like, nope, see, nothing I did. And that's my story. And then that's what I would stick to for sure. But they said they drove away because they thought that he may have been killed. And also that they were like really, really scared. Because like, I don't know, I feel like any normal person would be scared. Like if there was like a light coming out of the sky and just like, you know, I don't want to say like lightning because we see lightning all the time, but like if it just, I don't know what I'm trying to say. But so after driving away, they stopped and argued, obviously, and then went back because you couldn't leave them there. So, but it was about like 15 minutes. So when they get back, Travis is gone, and so is the object, and they could not find him or anyone who was hurt or anything. So they contacted law enforcement. So the cops, I don't want to say cops, a lot of these things they always say like authorities, but like I guess authorities is a good word, because who knows if it was the cops or if it was like the park rangers or sheriffs, you know. Anyway, so they were looking for them. And there were search parties, and a helicopter was used to, you know, to check the ground and stuff. And during the days that Travis was missing, everybody was like, yo, these men did something to him for sure. So some members of like this crew did take a polygraph test, And several of them were said to have passed when they asked whether they had harmed Travis and whether they had seen like an unusual object. So while all of this is still happening, my guy is still missing. And then on November 10th, around like midnight, or like going into November like 11th or 12th, like depending on who's telling the story, Travis made contact, and many accounts say that he called his family from a payphone in Heber, Arizona. And he said that he remembered being struck by the light. And then he said he woke up in like this strange hospital like room, and that he was on a table, and all around him were these beings, and they were not human looking at first. And they were short and had like smooth, bald looking heads and like these super duper large eyes. Travis said that he panicked when he saw these beings around him, and he said that he was trying to get away from them and moving through parts of the craft or the structure. And he later described seeing a more human looking figure who was wearing like a helmet or a suit or something. But anyway, so after Travis returned, this case like exploded into like national attention, and he did a whole bunch of interviews, and UFO researchers got involved, and then the media got involved. And then skeptics got involved, because that's usually what happens. And then eventually Travis wrote a book called The Walton Experience, and he published it in 1978. But Travis like continued to stand by this story for decades. And he's like, he spoke publicly about it, and he goes to like UFO events and stuff like that. And some of the people who are like close to this case have said that the aftermath is like traumatic for them, for sure. But anyway, in 2021, Mike Rogers, the crew's boss, he reportedly made statements suggesting that he no longer wanted to be considered a witness to Travis Walton's abduction. And there was also a recorded phone call where he suggested that the whole event involved like a hoax. But then he later was like, nah, never mind, I didn't say that. But it's wild because like he was actually there during the whole thing, you know. But I wonder if like he was like, if he actually did it, or like if, I mean, like if he was actually abducted, or if they made it up. I don't think they made it up. I think people later said they made it up because the government wanted to cover up the aliens. It's like the government's always like, or has always been like, we have all these UFO programs to study this stuff, but there's no aliens, there's no UFOs out there either, but we're just studying this one, but we've never had another one since, you know. That's what they used to be like, and we were like, okay. And then now we're like, hey, about those aliens. And now they're like, oh yeah, by the way, aliens are real, here's all the stuff about aliens. So now they're going to show us all of the aliens, and we're not going to know what's real or not, you know? After telling you that story, I remember hearing it on a podcast before about like a whole bunch of aliens and stuff, but I also think I did an episode. Like, I know I did the Barney and Betty case, but I'm pretty sure it was the same episode that I did this one as well, that I just talked about. Do you think I pulled up the wrong notes and I'm reading you? I'm doing the wrong thing here. I'm still going to roll with it, though. We'll find out, I guess, maybe. That was a really old episode, though, that maybe not many people listen to. So there's that. I mean, I guess it's still not the same, because like my little rambles aren't the same, you know? Do you guys like my rambles, by the way? I know one person before was like, I love your rambles. I try, like, well, I think in the beginning I tried not to. I tried not to ramble a lot because I didn't want people to be like, oh, MG, you're so annoying, which is not true, because I'm not annoying. If I say it, it's not true, then it's not true, you know? That's why I said it. But anyway, I think I'm going to tell you one more, because like I said, I don't know how much time I've taken like doing this. I do know that I came upstairs, it was like 8:43 when I said that it was getting dark out, and I don't know how much time happened then, but it's been over an hour since then. So yeah. And I just started, okay, so the reason why I'm not rushing through this, but the reason why is because it's super duper late at night and I like to record early in the afternoon, but it's been a while since I've been in my recording routine, you know? But anyway, I started playing this game called Infinity Kingdom, and I love it. It's so cool. Okay. You build these kingdoms, you know, you have this, your own little kingdom, right? You're a lord. Right now I'm like a knight level two because I'm not that great. But so like, you're like this little lord and you like, you kill these gnomes, or as one of the guys I met on there, he calls them gnomes. And I literally, me and my husband both play and we'll be like, let's go kill some gnomes. But anyway, so yeah, we started playing that game and that's what I want to do. I want to go lay in bed and play this game that brings me much joy. But anyway, let's talk about the Pascagoula abduction. So there's these two men and their names are Charles Hickson and Calvin Parker. And this happened on October 11th in 1973 in Pascagoula, Mississippi. And it was along the Pascagoula River, obviously, because they're named the same thing. But anyway, so most reports say that Charles Hickson was 42 years old and Calvin was 19 years old, which, do you think they were related? Because that's odd ages to be hanging out. So Hickson was older and he later became like the main person publicly associated with the case. And Parker, because he was younger, he was also like quieter and he struggled for years with the attention that came after this story. And so that night they were supposedly, I always say supposedly because I think I have to. Anyway, so supposedly they were fishing near the river and some accounts say that they were near like the shipyard area, but they were basically just like near the river trying to catch some fish. So they're fishing and then suddenly they heard like this strange sound and they explained it as like whizzing, zipping, like buzzing, I guess. I don't know what that would sound like. Maybe like buzzing a fly, maybe a fly, how it like buzzes and then it flies by and it's like, you know, and it does that thing where it gets high and then low when it's like flying by you. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, so with all of like the sounds that they heard, they also saw lights, which if I remember correctly, a lot of the UFO sightings, it like that I've heard about, like when they see the lights, it's super duper quiet. You hear like absolutely nothing. But these guys saw, I almost said saw sounds and heard lights. They heard sounds and saw lights. And then they said the object got like even closer and was hovering and that it wasn't behaving like a normal aircraft. And they said it was close enough that they could see like these strange beings come out of it. And they described them as like robotic looking, you know, and that they had gray or rough looking skin. And they also had like slit features where their eyes or mouths could be. And that they had like claw like pincher hands sometimes. And that they were like floating, or like, not like floating, but like their top half may have looked like it was floating because they were so stiff, like a robot. So like only their feet were moving, you know? And so they said that they became paralyzed, but they were conscious the whole time. Like they were aware of absolutely everything. And they said that they were examined. And supposedly the examination lasted like 20 to 30 minutes. And then they were just returned to the riverbank and it left. So they end up getting interviewed by the sheriff's office. And the deputy, he's like a former deputy, Glenn Ryder, which sounds an awful lot like Flynn Rider. Have you guys ever seen Tangled? That's a pretty cute movie. My daughter was obsessed with Disney movies when she was younger and she would act them out while she was talking to me. She would be like, if she had to ask me a question or I asked her a question and the answer was like similar to what was said in a Disney movie, she would act it out. And I just realized that there might be something wrong with her too. She actually does listen to this, so she might get mad at me for that. Actually, she probably won't. She'll probably laugh. Do you know, I'm such a terrible mother that she actually came to my comedy show because I let her. I don't know. I feel like she wasn't old enough yet. She should have waited. She wasn't 18. Well, maybe she was. She wasn't 21. Usually you have to be. I thought you had to be because of the bar in there, maybe. I don't know. They weren't serving alcohol, so it was fine. But yeah. And it was weird telling her a joke about her dad being naked and then having to look her in the eyes. And for the record, she laughed too, so it was fine. She actually laughed so hard she cried. Dang, I just looked back down at my notes and realized I must have really started talking about something random. Also, I paused for a second in between whatever I just told you till right now because I looked in my desk and I forgot I have Belgian chocolate that actually came from Belgium. It is the best chocolate I've ever tasted in my life. You put it on your tongue and it just literally melts in your mouth. It says Milka, M-I-L-K-A, whatever brand that is, I guess. But anyway, so that deputy, Glenn Ryder, so he said that they recorded the two while they were left alone together because they wanted to catch them lying. So basically they were like, if we leave them alone, they'll think nobody's listening and then we can see if they like say anything. But like according to what Ryder said, like his later accounts, that's not even what happened because they said Parker was just still extremely upset. And Ryder said that he was like terrified. And also, if they were faking a story, I don't think they would be really upset about it. They would just have no emotion to it, you know? But the crazy thing is, like, when this all happened, like when they were abducted, like they actually did receive phone calls. Like the police received phone calls from people who said that they saw like all these unusual lights in the sky. So why would they like want to catch these people lying if other people called in like, hey, look what we saw. This is what we saw. And then like, they're like, hey, this is what we saw. And then it took us. But anyway, there was this lady, Maria Blair, and she was a witness. And she said that she saw this strange blue light near the river, like at the same night, but she didn't come forward like right away. It was years later after there was like media coverage on the case. And so the guys, they had drawings made of what they saw. Oh, so this, like, this case ended up attracting like national attention. Like the UFO researchers and stuff got involved and newspapers obviously talked about it. Anyway, so according to like a later reporting, they had drawings made of what they saw. And so there's this guy, J. Allen Hynek or Hynek, whatever. And he is like a big guy in UFO history stuff. So he was an astronomer who consulted for Project Blue Book, and he later founded the Center for UFO Studies. And this other guy, James, was connected with like this. It was like civilian UFO stuff that he did, just like normal me and you being like, hey, let's go look at some aliens. But there like some people who like have heard this story are like, oh, well, the story changed like since the beginning. And supposedly one of them reportedly said like during the like examination or whatever, one of them said that like he supposedly passed out during the whole incident. And then so some people were like, oh, well, if that's what happened, then how do you remember what happened, you know? So Charles Hickson, he became more public with like the interviews and he appeared on television and he actually wrote a book about the experience. And then Calvin Parker was reluctant for many years to even come forward. And he didn't publicly tell his full version when he released a book in 2018. So people from Pascagoula say that like this is like local legend. So they actually put up a historical marker near the site that was connected to this encounter, and they unveiled it in 2019. So if that don't tell you that this actually happened, I don't know what would. Just kidding. I don't know if it's real or not, but I'm going to go with it is. And I also think I'm done talking about aliens for today, for this one. This was more like alien abductions instead of aliens, but I think I'm done talking for today. It's 10:30 at night. I forgot how long this actually takes me to record these episodes and how long I was actually away from my family doing these. Well, I should probably work it like it's a full-time job and do it during the day hours when I'm off, you know? That would actually probably free up a lot of my time. And also, I'm super duper excited to go lay in bed and play this game because it's so comforting. It's so nice to just lay there and attack people. I don't like it though. I mean, I love it, but I don't like the feeling of attacking people is what I'm trying to say. So that's where I'm going to leave you. But also, I do have to tell you one thing. So I'm going to be making a commercial and hopefully I have it done by next episode so I can play it for you. But I started my own coffee company. And it's called Grounds for Conspiracy. And if you go to groundsforconspiracy.com and if you order coffee and when you're checking out, if you put in the code STAYWEIRD, like just STAYWEIRD, and that's it, you can get 10% off. And there's so many cool things on there. Obviously, my commercial is going to be like super cool with alien sounds and the laser beams and stuff like that. But this is what you get for right now. But there is some pretty cool stuff in there. There's like tea, matcha, you know, that you can mix yourself, that weird whisk thing, you know, one of those. Also, matcha is delicious. And some people think it tastes like dirt. I think it tastes like a good dirt, especially when you get the mint matcha. Oh yeah, that's where it's at. I don't remember why I'm telling you this. You know what? I'm trying to say goodbye. That is what I'm doing. But I do have another thing to say besides the coffee. And that is that I have to give a shout out to the Screaming Podcast Network. And if you go follow them, the Screaming Podcast Network, you know, they have a bunch of cool stuff on there. If you like horror, you should do it and follow them and go listen to cool stuff. And also, you know, there's so many things in my mind that I want to start. Like, I just got real excited because I just remembered the whole pen pal thing. And I really hope that, like, I'll put it together next episode and the pen pal thing, and I'll figure out how we can be pen pals. But like, I don't want to like email people back and forth, you know, like text. I don't want to text. I want to handwrite you a letter, you know, draw a little doodle on there and then mail it. Yes, stamps cost money, but it's okay. What's a couple cents to send someone a pretty cool letter? You know, I'm so excited about this. You have no idea. But why am I telling you this? Oh, yeah. All the songs I play on here, I feel like I want to just like start my own radio station, you know, maybe down the line somewhere. Can you imagine me on the radio? Ugh, that would be terrible. It wouldn't be terrible, actually. It would be fantastic. But I do think that would be fun, though. I would have to seriously edit myself, I think. I would have to edit my brain for sure. Don't know how I could fix this. But while we're on the topic of radio, this is my favorite part of the podcast, actually, where I get to say the song of the week. Because, like, I scroll TikTok and Instagram, right? And these bands pop up on my TikTok and they're so good. And I'm like, more people should be listening to them for sure. So I message them and I have to tell them I'm not a robot, because one band was like, they didn't answer for a while. And then I sent a follow up message. This was like way, way, way back in the beginning. And they were like, oh, I thought you were a robot. So ever since then, at the very end, I'm like, no, I'm not a robot. And can I just tell you that 25, I am keeping track, 25 of the millions of bands that I messaged responded back with, if you were a robot, or if I were a robot, that's the first thing I would say. And it literally makes me cackle every time. Like, I heard it for the first time every time. But anyway, I just felt like sharing that with you. And I want to give you the song of the week. It is by Will and the Prodigal Son, and it's called All That I Want. And I think you should, I almost said you should scream it. But yeah, scream it at the top of your lungs. That would be nice, actually. With the windows down, make sure you got the wind blowing through your hair while you're doing it. It's pretty freeing. Not that I do it very often. Anyway, so yeah, go stream it and listen to it and scream it, because it's so good. It's giving me like, I definitely hear like a young Mark Hoppus in there, I feel like. So I think you guys are going to love it, and you should listen to it immediately, and then go add it to all of your playlists, and then share it with all your friends. I haven't done this thing that I say at the end in so long, so I hope I say it right. Stay weird, stay curious, go be kind to someone for no reason, and go be amazing. Tonight.
bottom, what I felt was right. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Never thought I could love this way. I guess I grew up and that's okay. Oh no.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. It calls to us. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives richer, calmer, and frankly, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby or trails worth traveling to and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Whether you're looking for a laid-back walk with family or something more adventurous to get your heart pumping, AllTrails gives you the tools you need to get out there and find your outside. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.